Welcome back to Legalize Vaping by Legalize Vaping Australia. I'm here with Brian Marlowe, who is the director of the enterprise, and with Aziz Amel from Vapor Power.
James,
how are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, and you actually managed to make it here into the Legalize Vaping offices, which is always a delight. And for those very few who are in the vaping space but don't know who you are, can you give us a little bit of background?
Okay, well, Vapor Power is a retailer, a manufacturer and wholesaler. I started the business 5 years ago with our fledgling shop at Thornlea, and we've now expanded to Blacktown and Port Macquarie for retail, and we have a factory at Kings Park manufacturing e-liquids and wholesaling. So that's Vapor Power in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's a pretty good track record.
Look, it's something that I wanted to do years ago, because vaping stopped me smoking after 40 years, so it was something I was very interested in. I was starting to help friends out, and it evolved into a retail shop.
Yeah.
And it's evolved right up to where it is now.
Yeah, well, it seems like that seems to be the story that follows people who start a vape shop. It's they smoked forever,
yep.
They got off with vaping, they helped their friends, and they said, hey,
actually, I can also help. Yeah, yeah, they went, oh, not only can I help people quit smoking, but yeah, I can actually run a business out of this. Mm-hmm. It's like the dumbest thing ever when I really think about the opposition to vaping. It's like, so you have a market-based alternative where people who are getting involved in it are doing it because initially they helped people quit, and then they started a small business.
Yeah.
And your opposition is...
You have to not enjoy quitting.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. It has to be dreadful and
yes,
awful.
That's right. Otherwise, it's the quit or die mentality of our government, unfortunately.
Exactly. So before you quit, and that was 40 years, you tried...
40 years of smoking. I tried everything to stop.
Really?
Champix, patches, gum, lozenges, those little tab things, the sprays, hypnotherapy, acupuncture. Really? I tried everything, and the reason I tried everything, and I tried for 13 years to quit, because 13 years before I stopped, my mother died from lung cancer, and I watched her fight it for 3 years till it eventually got her. Being the oldest son, I had to give the eulogy, and I swore I was going to quit then, and it took me 13 years, and then all of a sudden, someone random, I was just doing a course somewhere, we all run out to have smoko. And this young guy came out and he pulled out an e-cigarette. I had read one sentence about e-cigarettes in the whole time I was trying to quit.
Right.
And I asked him, does it work? And he said, try it. So I tried his e-cigarette. I went, this is exactly like smoking.
Right.
And he said, yeah, I'm South African. I bring it over from South Africa with me. I can get nicotine. And he said, get online, have a look. I got online that night. I ordered a rubbish device, but 7 years ago when I did quit, there wasn't a lot of good stuff out there.
Right.
It was a little Sigalike, a Bose 510, which probably a lot of people did start off with. But I stopped smoking the next day.
Really?
After I got it, I did not have another cigarette, and I have not touched a cigarette since I started that Bose 510 Sigalike.
So, and this is the thing, it's, you know, when I first got involved with this campaign, we initially were just like, oh, we'll just do a little petition. People sign up. We'll send a note to some MPs that we know, because logically it just sort of makes sense. We never really thought it would blow up from there.
Yeah.
And then went nuts, because vape shops got behind it. They started sharing it. Vapers started doing it. And we didn't really understand at first. We're like, why are people so like invested in this, right? Like, you know, we do campaigns on housing affordability and all that kind of stuff. And people don't really take that much action. But on vaping, on something that, you know, without trying to offend anyone in the community, for the average person is a fringe issue, vapers were going nuts. And it was only after we actually then got out and started meeting vapers that you met people that were like, well, mate, I smoked for 20 years. I felt like shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't run around in the backyard with my kids. And I tried numerous methods to quit. And then with this, it was, you know, click of the fingers night and day.
But for a lot of people, it is instant.
That's what made me go, okay, so it's actually not just, you know, a less harmful alternative. It's actually a total lifestyle change for these people.
Yes, and what a lot of people don't realise about the way Mao quit was, he tried to quit for many, many years, and he'd actually, so for those that don't know, Mao's my father, and he convinced my mother that he'd quit, and then he'd be running out to the garage where I was and pinch a smoke off me, have a couple toots, and then run back inside. And that went on for years. He did try legitimately for many, many years while I was still smoking. Mm. And, you know, he had a very good career and everything going, like really good career, and just gave it all up because this is the only thing that worked. And that's why I ended up so passionate about it and ended up in the business after a while as well, because of his passion behind it, and it's actually worked for him, and the time and the effort he put into it when he was already on a good thing. Right. He gave it all away to try and help others, which I thought was really cool.
It is really cool. What about your quit story, James? Like, because you say you were smoking as well.
Yes, I used to be a mechanic, and you know, it could be up to 40 a day. Yeah, I was smoking. I'd be hanging over an engine bay with a smoke. I'd be welding with a smoke, and I was constantly smoking in small workshops as a mechanic. Mm. And it took me a lot longer. I didn't quit overnight by any means.
Mm, yeah.
I quit for a while, and then a couple of things came up in life. I started smoking again. And then, a couple of years back, I stopped it. And it was quite a process. It's a lot harder to quit the second time around. But, it's definitely been a massive benefit for me, even at my age. I mean, I was smoking from 12, I think, and I'm 31 now, and I've quit for a few years now, and massive difference, not even in my health, my pocket.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. And I think on that, like, one of the things we would talk about is, they've increased excise on tobacco, they've done play packaging, it hasn't reduced smoking rates. Now, that's not to say that before that there was movement on smoking rates, right? Like, sure, as you tax something and as you restrict supply and educate people, they do quit smoking.
Oh, yeah.
But you then get to a subset of people that they're just addicted.
Yes.
And that's what you have now. And a lot of policymakers don't understand is that smoking is a very working class thing. My first job was as a shop hand at a mechanics workshop. I was getting paid in cash in hand. I was working for a bunch of Russian guys. And I had an interest in cars and I wanted to know how to do an oil change or, change an alternator out and things like that. So they'd show me, but they all smoked. So they'd hand me a cigarette. And they go, here, I'm going to show you how to do X. And they'd hand me a cigarette. And I'd be like, oh, I don't smoke. You want to learn? You'll smoke. Because for them, it was a bonding experience. Yeah. And they knew it was bad for you and they knew that it killed you, but, they're Russians. They didn't really care. So I was one of the lucky ones.
We love Russians.
I was one of the lucky ones. I managed to just give it up. Once I finished at that workshop, I kind of just went, I don't want to be paying for smokes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have that much of an issue. But that's probably also because I wasn't smoking for so long. Mm.
Yep.
But what policymakers don't understand is that quit or die, or like just quit, doesn't work anymore. And it did work for people.
It worked for a lot of people who were smokers who could have the willpower to stop.
Or social smokers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or social smokers. But also people that actually have the resources to maybe go and see a doctor repeatedly and pay those fees and go through a treatment plan and eventually get away. If you're working out, like, let's say you're just a brickie somewhere, or you're an offsider or a subby, you don't have a lot of disposable income. So how do you then go and pay someone to see them repeatedly to help them on your quit journey? No, you try and quit. You can't. Everyone you work with smokes. You're probably stressed out because you're living paycheck to paycheck, and that's your release. And let's be real about this: for a lot of people, smoking is a release. It's a release that kills you, but it is.
It is. Oh yeah. It's ingrained in certain habits. Like you wake up in the morning, you make a coffee, you have a smoke. You have these ritualistic ones as well. You're driving to work, have one in the car, that sort of stuff.
One.
Okay. they're so ingrained in your day to day, and that's been the great thing with vaping compared to pretty much every other method. You still have that mechanical action behind it. You're still doing something with your hands.
The rituals are still there.
The ritual's still there. That's right. Instead of, wake up in the morning, make your coffee, have a smoke, it's grab a vape.
Yeah.
Instead, you still have the same process going on. And so many of the alternative methods out there they're ridiculous. Champix, for example. I tried that. I went nuts.
I went crazy, yeah.
I was beyond nuts on that sort of stuff. My aggression was through the roof. And
really?
Mm.
Yeah, I had a really, really, really bad incident on that with Champix, which I won't get into, but it shouldn't be allowed. So many of these alternative methods are dangerous in my eyes, especially after what, you know, what I've seen. Like, I remember when Dad tried Champix and, that wasn't fun, but, you know, that was still nothing compared to what the way I reacted to it as well.
Right. Yeah. And they also contain nicotine. Which seems like, apparently nicotine is very, very dangerous to consume in a vape. But here's some gum, here's some spray.
The TGA will approve it for all these pharmaceutical companies to administer.
Ban eggplants. Ban eggplants.
So just for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, eggplants have nicotine in them. I'm going on a tangent here. But when we did our vape tour and we're in the Winnebago, we campaigned for like 30 days straight, just nonstop. And we ended up, I think we went Greg Hunt's election. By that point, we just kind of got a bit kooky, right? it was like day 31 out of 38 days. Yeah. And we did a live stream where we basically calculated how many eggplants were like in a milligram nicotine vape. I can't remember the exact number. I'm going to find that live stream and post it. But, you know, so there's the health benefits, right? So it's like you start feeling better. I remember, you know, you were talking about having a smoke in the car. I met a truckie who smoked two packs of 40 a day when he was on the road, smashing them.
We employed a truckie smoke two packs of 40 a day.
Yeah, or maybe it was the same guy. it was just one of those things because he was like, well, you know, the nicotine helps me concentrate.
Yep.
And when I'm on the road and I'm, you know, hauling 30 tons of goods, I've got to be paying attention. And it was completely destroying him. He's paying something like 14 grand a year just to smoke. And he, same thing, he quit by mistake or by accident essentially. So he was at a barbecue, a mate of his was vaping. Mate said, oh, here you go, give it a crack,
try this,
tried it over the weekend. And he goes, on Monday I woke up and he goes, I didn't reach for the ciggies, I reached for the vape.
Yep.
So then he just chucked the ciggies out.
We find a lot of people that do start vaping will duel.
Yeah,
and that's quite common for a lot of people. And I have, you know, customers coming in. Oh, I can't stop the cigarettes. I say, don't stress yourself. If you vaping and you still need to grab for a cigarette, do that, and you'll find yourself eventually not grabbing for the cigarettes. And a lot of people do. They start that they realize after a while, hang on, I haven't grabbed a cigarette in a week.
Now,
and this is after like maybe 3 months of starting to vape. So dual use is normal for a lot of people.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, their mind will switch that they don't want the disgusting tasting cigarette and they'll prefer the flavor of their vape.
Of course.
And they start going for that, and all of a sudden they realize that they've stopped smoking. So, you know, a lot of people freak out about dual use and that. And we try to just say, no, just you'll eventually get there.
Yeah, which is actually brings me to a point that I wanted to discuss with you guys, which is, what do you think of the concept of gateway theory, which so many of the health bureaucrats are saying?
Maybe we should explain gateway theory for anyone who's...
So what that basically means is some bureaucrats say, well, if you let people start vaping, which, you know, tastes like mango or cookies and doesn't kill you and is pretty affordable, people might opt instead to start smoking, which is expensive and kills you and tastes like garbage.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, they've got bullshit.
They've got the wrong direction on the gateway theory. That's the problem with the politicians. They play this gateway theory purely to try and get especially the naysayers, you know, in some of these organisations that are anti-smoking, are anti-vaping because they don't want to see that there's another way other than their way to stop. So the gateway theory is used there as a poor excuse. It's been disproven by, you know, the UK have disproven it.
The gateway theory to me makes no sense. Like, what stops, if the gateway theory is a real thing, what's stopping people from, you know, using nicotine patches for the hell of it, then just taking up smoking or whatever. It makes no sense. Exactly. That's what's annoying about it. It isn't a completely new device. It's not a completely new thing. It's a smoking cessation device. And it should be viewed the same way as all the other smoking cessation means, whatever's available.
The same way they view it in the UK, that e-cigarettes are part of their smoking cessation program there.
And one thing that we try and highlight with store in our stores, if we have customers come in and say, oh, you know, I want to buy a vape, And I said, okay, one of our first questions is, how long have you been smoking for? How much are you smoking?
Mm-hmm.
If I get, oh, I don't smoke, I said, well, why the hell are you in here? You don't want to be here. This is not a store for you. This is, you know, to quit smoking.
Yeah.
You know, that adults are adults and they can make their own decisions.
Sure.
But we'll never encourage people to start vaping if they're not a smoker, because that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's a smoking cessation device.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to actual politicians, a lot of them can be quite risk averse, especially when it's on something that they identify as a fringe issue, right? So they'll go, well, you know, I know Brian, and he's telling me X, Y, and Z, and he's got some studies to back it up, so I'll hear that out. But then some person from, you know, the Lung Foundation has told me the exact opposite and that there's a gateway. And for them, they go, well, this is a bit of a fringe issue for me, and it's several layers of information on something I'm not even aware of. Yeah. So, our main thing at LVA is, you know, it was very fun to bounce around in a bus at the beginning and all that kind of stuff, but now we've really sort of tried to evolve our campaign to really educate policymakers and work them through that, because it's several layers of education before they go, oh, I get it. You know, and that's on a policy issue. At a store level, though, and that's talking about nicotine, right, which you can't even sell here.
Yeah.
At a store level, though, you guys are treated far worse than tobacconists, and you don't even sell vapes with nicotine.
That's right.
Can you talk about some of the stuff you have to face? You know, like, you know, you can't show your products. Jay from House of Vape was saying to me ages ago, technically you're not actually allowed to engage with someone when they walk through the door.
That's right.
Yeah.
How does that work? Can you?
Well, this is the ludicrousness of the laws put in place by the Health Department of New South Wales, and I'm sure all the states have their problems.
Pretty much all states now,
Now, our shop at Thornleigh has been there 5 years. It has a second wall inside. So you walk in the front door, you have to walk down a little alcove in through a second door. Now it is a second door with a intercom, a latching system. They have to buzz to be allowed in, because we only have one staff member now in the shop. So he sees them on the camera. Basically, under the law, the person coming into the shop has to request that they want to view e-cigarettes before you're allowed to show them anything. Now, you can walk into a tobacconist, you don't request to view cigarettes, you just ask for your packet of whatever. Although they've made it hard for tobacconists, because everything's plain paper, packaging, they'd have, you know, all the fancy names and colours of the packets, are, you know, they've tried to remove all of that. So, yeah, we have Blacktown Shop is, because of its zoning there, we have to have everything covered. Anyone can walk into the shop because there's nothing visible.
Yep.
It's a shop with black cabinets, some shelving with black curtains on it, and the only thing you can see is a few T-shirts and things we have from, you know, some of the suppliers that, you know, we give away or sell, depending on where they're from. So that's the only thing that people can view. We can also put our flavour concentrates up, because they're food flavourings. Yep. We're allowed to show them.
Mm. But only the concentrates.
Only the concentrates. Not a finished e-liquid. Even though it does not contain nicotine, right, we are not allowed to show an e-liquid. Yeah.
But of course, it's not one size fits all either, right? So, like, different vape shops have been told different things by different health inspectors.
Well, one of the biggest issues we have is, if you want to look in the nitty-gritty of the law, if someone comes in and says, look, I want to vape, what do I want? We can't give advice, because that's enticing a sale. There's so many different devices out there, starting at, you know, a very basic starter kit to something that's going to punch out, you know, 200 watts plus, or a mechanical mod. How can we not be allowed to give advice when it comes down to safety even, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
If we can't educate customers that come in the door and they just request, a mechanical mod, and they've got absolutely zero idea what they're doing, and that's a massive, massive, massive health issue. It's dangerous, and that's where the law is just... It doesn't work.
Well, because the law's an arse when it comes to that. It really
is. All they've done with the legislation for us is change the word tobacconist and change it to vape shop. We can't work under tobacco laws because, A, we don't have tobacco in it.
Right.
But then the laws just don't compute with what we're doing.
Seems like life would be easier for you guys if they treated you as tobacconists, no? You could sell some chocolate in your store and some sodas.
We're not allowed. No,
as a vape shop,
The two shops that are allowed to show the products are not allowed to sell anything other than e-cigarettes and accessories.
Not even a shirt.
We can't sell the shirts at our Thornleigh shop.
Yeah.
Because it's an open shop once you come in the second doorway and you're allowed in, because there's a sign on the door saying you're agreeing to viewing e-cigarettes. to come in. So they agree to that by reading the sign. So they're then allowed in the shop. But they're not allowed to see anything else in there.
That's insane.
Well, Rhoda, you spoke about, you know, there's all kinds of different types of vapes, different mods, you know, closed systems, open systems, all that kind of stuff. One thing that policymakers don't understand is they go, well, it's very complex. It's a really complex world out there in vaping. And they don't understand that it's the complexity that makes it easier for people to quit, because you can tailor what they need to their personal circumstances.
That's right. And that's the beauty of it. But it can be as basic as you want as well, especially with the devices we have available these days. You know, we're not having to anneal-canthal and then wrap it around a drill bit and all the fun stuff like back then, or, you know, heating up mesh and...
I had a great time starting off vaping because I was doing all sorts of things with wire wicking and mesh wicking and things like that.
I think that's why I found it so interesting, because, you know, like, I'm a car guy. I like how things work. Right. I like anything with a motor.
Yep.
I'm interested.
Or if you want to tinker or anything, you have that option with vaping. You've got rebuildables and all that sort of stuff. If you don't want to, if you just want to walk in, get something that works and you can quit smoking or attempt to quit smoking, it's available. And that's the beauty of it now. But that's also where these laws just don't work, because...
They don't allow us, the shops, to have the flexibility to provide a solution for the customer.
That is based on experience over years and years and years, watching hundreds or thousands of customers that we've helped quit.
Yeah.
We've built up this experience on the way the devices work and what works for people. I mean, like a heavy smoker, they're not going to come in 9 times out of 10 and be able to get a huge device that's putting out 110 watts like they think they can.
Yeah.
They need to start on something small and work their way up. Whereas we find people that would, you know, smoke a couple a day, they can start on something that's around 100 watts and they're fine with it because of the way that their body's receiving it.
Sure.
So it's sort of backwards compared to what most people would think, you know? And that's something that you can only build up from experience. And if we can't give that sort of advice to the customers or the potential customers, what good are we doing, you know? How's their journey going to be when it comes to quitting smoking if they can't even get advice that they require?
Well, to be fair, if they go to the Quit Victoria website, they can read 100 tips on how to quit, and some of it includes drinking milk. So they can do that instead.
Yeah. To be accurate, it includes pouring milk.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't actually say
drink it. No, it doesn't say drink it. It says pour a glass of milk or dance.
This is how therapeutic this is.
Dance, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to get a pole in the shop on the Port Macquarie for anyone new starting. Just try dancing. There's a pole. Go nuts. Does that help?
So on Port Macquarie is your newest shop.
Yes.
How are you guys finding it up there? Because you know, I've been to Port a few times. Smoking rates are, you know, they just tend to be higher in regional areas.
Yes.
Can you talk about, I mean, Rhoda, you run that shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I drove down from Port Macquarie yesterday. So I'm normally based up there at that store. And Port Macquarie has been interesting. I don't know.
I think it suffered quite drastically with the COVID problem because basically tourism stopped, so people stayed home, and they did. The place looked like it shut down completely, but it's picked up.
It's doing quite well up there. But the customers, they've been trying to access resources online for many years, and some of the misinformation that customers are walking in with, or dangerous setups, has been quite alarming. I found
there's definitely not online.
Yeah, exactly. And there hasn't been enough education as far as what I've seen. I've had customers walking in with mech mods using torch batteries, for example. Stuff like that.
It's all the dangerous stuff.
A lot of dangerous stuff going on because they haven't had any hands-on resources or information to be able to correct what they're doing, if you get what I mean.
I think that's the role of a brick and mortar store, right? It's because you know, anyone can go online, and the current regulatory model is, especially if you want to take up nicotine vaping, is just buy it online.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. Well, if I'm a smoker, I know nothing about vaping. I go online and I just go, oh, well, I'll get that tank and I'll put it with that mod because it looks nice, as opposed to what actually works.
Yeah.
And I'll get this liquid, which is a salt, and really you probably need X. Like,
we get customers coming in with that setup.
Exactly.
And we go, really?
Yeah, and we have to...
And the reason is because they don't know. That's and the right, reason they don't right. know is because there's no brick-and-mortar shop.
That's
and the
right.
reason there's no brick-and-mortar shop is because the regulatory framework fucks them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, you got to be insane to open a shop these days with the regulations and everything behind it. It's like
I look back at 5 years of running this business.
Oh man!
And some days I just think, why the hell am I doing this?
Yeah.
On that point, I don't want to end the podcast without you telling a story that you told me before we started the podcast of a little sting operation involving two 15-year-old boys.
Oh. Right. Well, yeah, we recently had the Health Department of New South Wales send two 15-year-old boys in to our shop to basically sting us.
Right.
And they walked through the front door, which has no one under 18 permitted in.
Mm-hmm.
They walked into the little alcove where there's a freestanding sign saying no one under 18 permitted. They put one foot through the second doorway. This is before we put the security door on. We just had a sliding door.
Mm-hmm.
And they put one foot on that threshold. The staff member, Ryan's at the counter, and he looked up and he turned across and he basically said, get the fuck out of the shop.
You could see it on the CCTV, those exact words.
You could see they were the words he used. He had two customers in the shop. He was actually setting up a tank for one of them, and he vaped it to make sure it was working properly, gave it to the customer. So we get a letter from the health department saying, two 15-year-old boys attended your shop, walked into the shop, saw a large range of e-cigarettes, and saw a staff member vaping. Please explain. So I basically told the health department that the boys were in the store for a total of about 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the threshold of the doorway where they could maybe see things in the shop for about 2.5 seconds. But from 4 meters away, I don't think they saw many e-cigarette products. And I actually questioned the health department to name the products that the boys saw. Never got a reply on that. And told them that our staff member was vaping within the jurisdiction, which states that we can educate customers on the use and setup of an e-cigarette, which Ryan was doing.
Right.
Never heard anything back. But I think it's just disgusting that the health department would pick 15-year-old boys to sting a vape shop. Now, tobacconist, maybe, because they know they're under very strict rules. Yeah, we are too, and I've taken it seriously, so seriously that I used to sell at Parkley Markets. I had a market stall there before, this is going through 2015. Legislation came into place in September 2015 where we had to move into a shop. Whilst I was at the markets from April to September 2015, we had a sign at the front of our stall saying, no one under 18 permitted.
Right.
And we didn't have our products out in the aisleway like every stall has in the markets.
Mm.
We had them within our market stall, so they had to come into our market stall to purchase anything. So I find it ridiculous that we actually set this no one under 18 rule ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We ran with it way before the government even thought of legislating it.
Right.
And then they try and catch us out on it. I was disgusted with
it. Yeah, and it's a very dishonest way of doing it as well. It is. Like, kids run in there, don't listen to directions, just pile through so they can catch them.
Yeah. That's the idea. They just wanted to come in so they could fine us for having 15-year-olds in the store.
Yeah, they just wanted to screw you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I don't want to keep you guys for too long because I know that you're incredibly busy. So I think the last thing we want to know is, other than legalizing nicotine and kind of reducing some of the insane regulations that are in place, what do you think the government could do today to help you and your business run more smoothly?
I think the priority is removing the relationship to tobacconists, to recognize vaping as its own standalone industry, and just accept that it is a proven cessation device. That's what they need to do.
The same way that it's done in overseas in many countries.
Many countries.
Yeah. Oh wow, they turned on the Superland air conditioning. Yeah. On that note, they're playing us out. They're just they're telling us to leave.
They've dragged us out.
Look, before we go, as many of our subscribers and followers will know, we have our Vape Force One juice, of which Vapor Power is one of the contributors to that, which is icy orange pineapple. It is absolutely fucking awesome. If you haven't bought a bottle of that, please do. Every dollar goes towards helping our campaign continue on and continue fighting for you. Lockdowns are nearly over, which means we can get back to doing our on-the-ground advocacy work and turning up to a vape shop such as Vapor Power and, you know, doing some stuff together.
Welcome in store. We have COVID rules in store, but everyone's welcome to come back in and shop now.
Awesome. Yeah,
sounds good. All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right there.
How do I make a mouse work?